What a good prayer. That we would be sensitive and aware of the Spirit of God and the presence of God in our lives, not just when we gather in a meeting like this, but in all that we do and in all we're engaged in, that we just know God's presence is not just around me, but at work in me. And that's a wonderful prayer. Let's take that with us. Just for these last few minutes that we have, I'm in Mark chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 10. We're going to be looking at some scripture in Mark in the course of this week up in Blotrock in our meetings. And so this is the kickoff for us in these verses. Beginning with verse 13. They were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is not particularly a children's message, although the subject here in these verses are children. Keep your Bibles open because we're going to continue in just a minute a little bit further. We can preach sermons, and often we take from these verses sermons on the value of children and the blessings of children and the ministry we ought to have toward children and how God loves children, and that's all true. And we see that in here as well. In that culture, unlike ours, the children really didn't have much value. They were just there, and there would come a day when they would be recognized as adults, and they would be trained in their culture and in their faith. And they would go through a process, and when they got old enough and had something to contribute, then they would be considered valuable. But children, for the most part, were not the center of their society and culture. There's all sorts of indications outside of the Bible that tells us that children were not treated very well and didn't have any rights at all. That may play into this a little bit. The other thing in here, I think, is that the disciples are becoming a little bit more aware of the importance of the ministry of Jesus. And he is now just days away from the cross. And things are intensifying. And it would just seem that these children that are coming and the people that are bringing their children, that Jesus would touch them and bless them, was becoming a distraction. An inconvenience just in the way of their business. This was not something that children need to be involved in. This was culturally and in the religious world of the Jews, something that happened often even in their local synagogues. Parents would bring their children to the teachers, the rabbis, and they would be the elders of the synagogues, and they would bless them, and they would lay hands on them, and very symbolically, they would receive those blessings. We see that in the Old Testament as well, as parents would symbolically lay hands on their children and bless them. And so this was something part of their world and culture they understood. And this was not just any ordinary teacher, an ordinary rabbi. They had heard much as Jesus' fame was spreading. He was a miracle worker, and he could do things that no other man could do, and so they certainly wanted, if they had the opportunity to bring their children to this teacher, that he might lay hands on them and bless them. And so this is what's happening when the disciples are kind of pushing them away and shooing them away, and Jesus becomes indignant, and there's a lesson in there for Jesus loving children and blessing children, and he says, "Let them come." But Jesus doesn't miss an opportunity here to teach a new concept regarding the kingdom. He says in his rebuke to his disciples, let the children come, don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Often we take this verse, these thoughts in here, and we preach sermons, and we've probably heard many, and I might have preached a few myself, of the simple faith of a child, and that's how we're to come to Jesus. And we give illustrations of how children are so trusting in their father. And this one I've heard all my life. If you put a child on a table and you said, jump to daddy, that child will leap off the table in childlike faith, believing that daddy's going to catch them and not step aside and let the child fall on the floor. And so we teach and we preach sermons out of here that that's how we come to Jesus. That's the message here, that we just come with this trust, this simplicity, and that's true. But I think there's more here, and what Jesus is trying to get across. How do we come to the kingdom? How do we come to God? What is this childlike faith? And so I thought maybe a couple of illustrations would be helpful for us this morning to help us understand what is this message. So I need a volunteer. I need a young boy from the cottage who can help me. Any volunteers? They are smart. You never volunteer for anything you don't know what's coming. So he's raising his hand. You know what? I'll take both of you. Come on up. We may need two of you to solve this problem. See, I've got this whole Buick that has some transmission problems. Pay very close attention to me because I'm not very good with cars. But I've looked this up and tried to figure out how we do on Google, right? You have a problem, you Google it, and then you try to get all your answers. So I Googled some of this, and it seems like my speedo is off about 20% of my transmission, okay? And it's a stock 3.42 rear end, and I removed the governor and found there's a 13-tooth gear. And so I tried to take it apart, but it's stuck. I used vice grips, I used screwdrivers to try to pry it. Nothing works. So somebody said that the oil in the cruise control transducer may be dried up. And they said that if I would use a Zoom Spout oiler to refill it, it might solve the problems, or install a speedo gear ratio adapter box. So I need to know what you think. Just cut it?
Yeah.
Just cut it off. Or a hammer. Good answer. Thank you. And I may try that. You can sit down. I may try that. It probably will work. A five-year-old, come here, please. What's your name? Ava. Okay. I'm going to do this. Step up here a little bit. I'm going to stand you up. Keep your balance. So everybody can see. We're good? I got a problem. I got no money. It's a rough time of year. We all have them. Summers for some of us go downhill. So I found these. My wife brought these. I didn't know. She brings bills to camp to remind of life back home. We enjoy too much. And so I've got a car bill. I've got I think that's a medical bill. I've got a tax bill. I even have an easy pass bill. I must have gone too fast through that toll. And I've got no money and only a couple tickets for the boathouse, and that doesn't go very far. So we got a couple $100 I can borrow. No. Not any. A dollar? Not even a dollar. Well, thank you. One more thing over here. I know Faith from church. So would you help me a minute? We're going to slip by here. Can I get over here a minute? I'm getting to a point. Just a minute. Faith. We have a Grace in church. We have a Faith in church. They're really good friends. And I just get Grace and Faith mixed up sometimes. Go on that side of the piano, please. I'm not going to play it. Just bring that side and lift this up with me. One, two, three, go. Any friends? Everybody. We're done. Okay, here's the point. If Brother Tommy, if I asked Brother Tom about the transmission, he probably would have some answers. He would. You've heard of those things, transducers and that. And if I asked somebody here about borrowing a couple hundred dollars, if you can see me after, I'll be back to my wife. She got all the money anyway. Or if I needed help moving a piano, there are a couple guys here that I would call strong men. Because we don't typically go to kids and children when we need something done because they really don't have anything to offer us. Children are wonderful and they're beautiful and we saw them smile and heard them sing and we know God has a plan and a purpose for them. But they don't have a lot of experience. They don't have a lot of wisdom. They don't have a lot of strength. They don't have a lot of resources. We're born, all of us, completely and totally dependent for everything in life. As we mature, we become more and more independent. We become more and more self-sufficient. We no longer need help fixing a car or need help paying our bills or taking care of things in life. We have learned to do them ourselves, and that's usually how we approach it. And so when Jesus is talking about faith in the kingdom and he says, you need to come like a child, he's talking about coming with absolutely no resource, with absolutely no abilities, with absolutely nothing to offer. And so we come with empty hands and empty pockets and no experience and no wisdom, right? Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the rich man boast in his wealth. Let not the strong man boast in his strength. But we boast in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God and who he is and what he has done. And we've come to a place, Jesus says, you need to be like a child who, when you say, what do you have for me? What can you give for me? What can you do for me? We say, nothing. I've got nothing to give you. Jesus takes this lesson, I don't think it's an accident the way Mark records it, inspired by the Holy Spirit, because the very next verses that we read here show us the counter side of this lesson. In verse 17, Jesus was setting out on his journey, and a man ran up and knelt before him and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. And Peter began to say to him, see, we've left everything and followed you. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life, many who are first will be last, and the last first. The lesson for the crowd here that Jesus is trying, and for his disciples, and for us today, how do we enter the kingdom? And so the first part is, you come like a child. This is faith. They come with absolutely nothing. And the next storyline is, here's a man who has everything. The rich man, the rich young ruler. He's got everything. And he comes, what do I need to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus lists some of the commands, and he says, I've done them all. And Jesus doesn't even debate that with them. It likely is not true, because it's impossible. But the point that Jesus was trying to make was not that, but there's something that you lack. No time this morning, but Jesus speaks here. These commandments are all the vertical, the horizontal commandments. The last six, which is how you treat one another. You don't steal, you don't murder, you don't commit adultery, you don't lie. And so this is how we live amongst ourselves. The first four Jesus doesn't mention. And that may be a little bit where he's getting to, where it says, honor God, know God's before him, and keep his name holy and his Sabbath holy. And so here is maybe where the issue is. It's not how you behave outwardly toward others, but it's a submission of your heart before God. And he says, here's what you're lacking. You're coming to God with your resume. You're coming with all of your accomplishments of how you've lived and what you've done. And you've said, I'm perfect now. I've got all of this to offer God. See, that was part of the old system. And this was the lesson for the crowd. You've got a heritage, you Jews. You've been circumcised, and you've been taught, and you've been trained, and you've come of age, and you've offered your sacrifices and your offerings and your feasts, and you eat a certain way, and you dress a certain way, and you give a certain way, and you do a certain way. And it's all based on all the outward, which was the kind of the climax, the consummation in the lives of the Pharisees, because they just paraded themselves around and says, look at who we are and what we have accomplished. And Jesus says to this man, that's the old, which was really a lot about what you had to do, but there's a new. He says it this way, just a couple nights later, a new covenant in my blood. The old system is fulfilled now. And now when you come to God, you come with empty hands. You have nothing to offer him. All the commands that you've tried to obey, all the money that you've given, all the services you've attended, all the sacrifices you've made, all the laws that you've kept. Paul says, I've done that all. He says, I've done it better than all of you have done. And Jesus Christ has revealed himself to me. And I have recognized that what I have to offer him is rubbish. And he has no interest in the things that I try to give and bring. He wants me to come as a child who says, I can't do this. I don't even know what you're talking about. But I come. Because you're the one who has. You're the one who gives. You're the one who blesses. You're the one full of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. And so I come. And so here's kind of where Mark is taking us, and Jesus is bringing these crowds, and now particularly this man. You've come with all your stuff and all your accomplishments. And your attachment is to your possessions. We read that at the end. Get rid of everything that you have, that you value, that you think makes you something, and give it away. And the man went away sorrowful. He couldn't empty himself. He couldn't surrender himself. He was more attached to his possessions and his accomplishments and his relationships, and it needed to be replaced by an attachment to Jesus, and so he went away sorrowful because he had too much invested in himself. And I'm afraid that for a lot of us, we have too much invested in ourselves. And Jesus says, I want emptiness. See, faith is not ignorance. Faith is not just simplicity. Faith is an emptiness. Faith is, God, here I am with absolutely nothing to give you, and I'm here just to take. And God is more than willing to give. We're going to deal with that these next couple days in Watch Rock with grace and faith. This is our God, and this is what he wants from us. Well, who then possibly, God, if this man who has accomplished so much in his life, who has so much to offer, if he can't enter the kingdom, who can? Jesus says, man can't. Man, right? That's his words. It's impossible. But with God, through Jesus Christ, faith is possible, grace is possible, forgiveness is possible, entering the kingdom is possible. You surrender your family, you surrender your possessions. This is where it's going, and Jesus says, I will repay 100-fold. Some people take that very literally. If you watch enough TV preachers, you'll hear it. From this verse and some others, if you do this, you'll get 10-fold, 50, 100, 70, whatever other numbers they throw around. The idea really is just an infinite, abundant blessing that you cannot measure. What you give for God here that we think is such a great sacrifice, he says, I will bless you in such ways you cannot even begin to imagine in this life and in the life to come. The last will be first. And so, very simply this morning, would you come? Would you come? Jesus invites us, come. Whether it be coming for salvation, some don't come because they're holding on to their possessions, like this rich young ruler. I've got too much in my hands to let go of for what you're going to offer me, Jesus, and they don't recognize the trade. That God blesses infinitely more. And so some people walk away sad and hold on to the stuff, the investments that they've made in themselves and in this world. Don't be that person. You might be on the flip side. You might be the person that feels like I've got nothing. And until I have something I can offer God, I'll just wait because he can't possibly receive me if I've got nothing to give him. That's exactly how he wants you. He wants you to come in your emptiness and your brokenness and your past that's a mess in your poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And if we would come to him that's a humbling position to come to somebody and say, I've got nothing to offer in this relationship. I'm just here to receive. That's how God set it up. That's how God wants us and calls us to come to himself. So don't wait and don't strive. Just come. And then for those of us who have come, sometimes it's hard to stay empty, isn't it? We just kind of get full of ourselves a little bit. It kind of creeps in and we hold on to the things of the world and we hold on to our talents and our abilities and what we can offer God now. Well, we came empty, but now I've got to establish and I've got to grow and I've got to develop so that I can give for God and he can use me somehow and some way. And I think there's an old beggar in heaven today that used to sit at Gate Beautiful that is so thankful that Peter and John showed up one day and says, we've got nothing in our pockets to give you. But such as we have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That's how we need to live our lives, in such a place of emptiness in need. I don't care if you've been saved a week or 50 years. God, empty me of self so that you might fill me, save me, use me for your glory.
Amen.
And so we come. Father, I thank you that you receive us.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you expect nothing of us.
Jesus.
That in our weakness, you're strong. In our poverty, Lord, you are rich.
Yes.
In our need, you are able. I pray for some here today, Lord, that may be wrestling with the call to come. They think they've got so much to lose when you have promised incredible blessing beyond what we could measure in this life and the life to come. Lord, some may feel embarrassed to come because they have nothing to give you. And so they're trying to do and catch up and live and work. Someday be able to impress you and to come. Lord, I pray you just speak to that heart and give them grace to
that.
Give them grace, Lord, to trust you.
Jesus.
Lord, for some of us that maybe we've gone through that walk of salvation and we come and we receive your salvation by faith and grace. But now we've been trying to take back some of that and we're living in our own strength and we're trying to minister in our own abilities. And you call us, Lord, to emptiness. You call us, Lord, not to depend upon our wisdom and our strength and our wealth. You've called us to depend upon the Spirit because it's not by might and it's not by power. It's what you are able to work in us. And so like Peter and John, Lord, we come empty. We pray that you would use us for your glory. Lord, that your kingdom would advance. And souls that are broken and hurting would come and know you. Give us that grace, Lord, to be empty of self and full of you. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our lives and here at camp, the adults and visitors and Watch Rock and our staff and who are here in the village and in the cottage. What we've heard today has encouraged us.
Yes.
And I pray, Lord, that you've begun a good work, we complete it. Hearts of these children,
yes,
young
Jesus.
People.
Hallelujah.
In the hearts of older, Lord, and some that are finding themselves on the far side of life. And Lord, that you would just so abundantly bless and accomplish your work in us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings that we've enjoyed already. Continue now, Lord, to give us a sense of your presence as we've heard and sung and prayed today. That in every step, in every moment, we would know that you are with us for your glory and honor. Amen. Would you turn in your hymnals in closing? Hymn number 444. And I ask you to stand as we sing that. Our children are going to sneak out as we sing. And then when we're done, you'll be dismissed. And then you can go visit. And you have about 40 minutes or so to get down to the dining room. So stand with me, please. 444. God bless you. Enjoy your day. We're dismissed.